welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast where we talk about TV and sci-fi film that feature POC, either as characters, directors, or writers. And, cut you off, Melissa.
That's all right. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
Oh, is it the 90s car?
Really? That's so exciting.
It's a school bus. Why is there a school bus coming through my street at like, it's like 11:30?
I don't know, but who are you?
That was very... Oh, it's probably because I think some people use my, or maybe I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but people tend to use my street as like a side road if they want to like avoid the traffic lights on the main road. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make any sense because they're both, whatever, moving on.
Introduce yourself, Maggie.
Yes. I think you already did, Melissa. But my name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. And so we're going to be talking about episode 6, Hand of Five Poisons, the last episode of season 1 of Into the Badlands.
Woo! Finale! Which I have, like, avoided seeing for a really long time. Not, like, because I didn't want to see it, just I was busy with other stuff. I was really intrigued by this episode. It brought up a lot of new questions that will hopefully be answered in a future season. I hope there's a future season. Very suspenseful. A lot of stuff I had no idea was gonna happened. But it wasn't unpleasantly like, oh, look at all this weird new stuff they're throwing at us. It was kind of like, I was like, oh my god, what is going on? I was like freaking out the entire time. Just finished watching it. But I know Melissa had finished it a long time ago, relative to me.
Yeah, I watched it when it first came out, and I felt pretty good about it. I thought I wasn't going to like it, and I think, listen, my watching experience is very greatly dependent on the other episodes which will follow, and the episodes that precede it, and where it falls in the season, and the series, and I think if this is the last we see of Into the Badlands, I will be very unsatisfied. But yes. As a season finale that leads into another season, I was very impressed. I really liked it. I thought it really worked. But only if we get another season.
Yeah. It only works if there's a season 2. If this is how it ends, it's just like, well, I mean, what's going to happen to our heroes? We have to know.
Because... So. You know, it's not a fulfilling...
Oh, yeah, spoiler alert.
...ending. Yeah, okay, yes. There's spoilers. This is it.
There's going to be spoilers. Watch the episode before you listen to the podcast. Hey.
So do you want to talk about season 2, the possibility of that right now?
I haven't really been reading up about season 2.
I did. I did a little bit of reading. So as of January 27th, which is the date that we are recording, there's been no official word.
Okay.
So,
I hope they do a second season.
The creators seem to be optimistic, but again, no word is not a good word.
Right. I mean, because if we had heard right away from after the end of the finale, yes, we're going to get renewed, then of course, like, great, yeah, they're going to get renewed. But it's kind of like, they're kind of waffling right now. It's kind of like, well, we don't know. We have no idea.
So I was looking at all of the numbers and all of, like, the viewers per episode, and it's just, the consensus seems to be that it was good, not great, not horrible, but not great. You know, it's just meh. That's exactly what it is.
I mean, I think you and I, based on our conversations, we'd agree. With that assessment?
It's funny, because when people are saying, oh yeah, the show isn't that good, and, you know, the viewership has reflected that, I get very sad, because I really want another season. So I'm like, oh yeah, the show isn't that bad. But then, when I actually think about the show itself, it has greatly disappointed me. So I completely understand.
Yeah, I feel like these 6 episodes have really set up a world... and set up a good story, and I'm so much more interested in seeing how they all get out of this, and I really want to see them get to Azra. Like, I really want to see that happen. That's kind of what I came in expecting, you know? Not that I don't appreciate political intrigue and infighting and, you know, feudalism, but I really, really want to see them, you know, out on adventures, fighting their way through the Badlands, getting to Azra, getting home. So I would really want to see a second season, even though, but I mean, I would also want the writing to be way better than
don't get greedy
what
kid.
It is. Sure. I mean, that's kind of like a weird thing to, not a weird thing, but it's kind of not the best thing to ask or want out of,
it's fair though. When the writing has just been mediocre.
It's fair. Yeah, but I mean, to expect that it will get better, it seems a little idealistic.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times season two gets worse, not better.
If it gets worse, I don't know.
I don't know how long I'd hold on for.
But Community season two was better.
That's true.
Than the first one.
I mean, there are exceptions, but you know, think about the Heroes phenomenon. When you go in with, like, a set plan, and then as soon as you get another season, you're like, what now?
I feel like, again, I don't know too much about this, but based on what I do know, I just feel like when it comes to writing for TV, you need to have an overall plan, but you also need to be flexible.
It's hard, like, yeah.
Because, you know, people leave, or actors are actually a lot better than their character is, and then you keep that character on for longer.
Spike.
Like, things... Spike. Oh, I mean, I was also thinking... In my head, I was thinking, like, Breaking Bad, because another AMC show, and the character of Jesse Pinkman, he was supposed to be killed off in, like, the first season, but they liked him so much, he ended up staying all five seasons and becoming, like, a main... Basically, a main member of the cast, when he was just supposed to be this bit role who was, like, you know, extra or whatever, secondary character, mm-hmm. supposed to die yeah. after a couple episodes. So, like, I think the writers, like, in, like, TV writing in general, you do need to have a plan or else you get all, like, lost and, like, literally, like, lost. like, or, sorry.
That was good.
You know what I mean? Like, you just get, it's just a mess. But then if you're not flexible, then you could also run yourself into the road. You know?
Yeah.
Like, what would Breaking Bad be without Aaron Paul's character? Like, it would be, I mean, it would be bad, but it'd be a whole nother thing.
Breaking Bad.
You know? You need to watch Breaking Bad, man.
I should.
It's such a good show. But anyway, so I don't know. That's what I think about the writing. When I think about, that's where I'm coming from, thinking about TV writing. When I think about this show, I'm like, like, just the writing, the dialogue has been kind of mediocre. Plots have been okay, I guess. I find them interesting enough. Maybe they have a little bit too much, you know, B, C, D plots going on. Maybe they need to focus on a smaller number of plot lines.
Yeah, but I think they have a lot of things going on. And I think, I don't know how to say this without sounding completely, like, against all writing techniques, but it's too character-driven.
So you need more from, what, the setting, the world at large?
Well, not like, okay, maybe that's not the right way to explain it. I mean, it's, like, too character-driven within our main set of characters. I guess, like, I want a villain. I want...
Like a good villain.
Yeah, like a really good villain. Instead of Sonny just being like, oh, time to fight some not generic, but, like, he just went, like, somebody made a list at the beginning of the season saying, who are the best fighters? He has to fight all of them. And then each episode's climax was, okay, who is he going to fight this time?
I think it's the nature of these kung fu.
It's not that I mind him fighting. So. I would love to see a chance for it to evolve, at least. Or, like...
Right.
I don't need him to get better, but I need him to... I don't know, adjust his fighting techniques. You know,
learn, develop, and grow as a character.
Well, that too. I know the creators said that in season two, Sonny would get a redemption arc.
Didn't they just end the finale saying that MK gives his little voiceover saying that maybe me and Sunny won't find redemption?
Yeah, that is BS. What kind of
cop-out is that?
That's BS.
What kind of cop-out is that, MK?
I thought that was BS to begin with anyway, though.
The whole redemption thing or his voice?
I don't really think either of them need redemption.
No, I mean, from what we've seen, they've been forced to kill and do horrible things, but I don't think that they're evil or bad people. Like, I don't really get that.
Yeah, exactly.
What is this whole redemption thing? What are you redeem? Like, the fact that you killed a boat full of people, like, but you did that out of self-defense / you couldn't control yourself. That was kind of out of your hands.
Yeah, that wasn't really. And then Sunny's
basically working for
right. Him.
So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
So, that, meh.
Yeah,
let's just get into know. It.
Sure. I'm trying to think. Do you want to? Because I just finished it, so I can't really wrap my head around
okay, the different
plot lines. Do you want to do by plot line, or do you want to go chronological?
I think we should do a little bit of mix and match. A lot of the plot lines intersect. So,
yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't really know if I can.
But I'll try and get things going.
Okay, sure.
But at the very beginning, Sunny is on his bike, leaving the poppy fields. Look at that.
Can I just say, I want to, like, give a little shout-out to potential symbolism with, like, the red poppies and, like, the contrast between the red poppies and the green field is kind of like blood is spilled upon the land.
Very nice. I was thinking that just it saying. Reminds me of episode 1. That begins.
Well, yes, that too. Because bookends.
Right. I love me some bookends. Like,
I love bookends too.
It's like one of those easy things that you can do, but it's always satisfying. Oh my gosh.
It's easy yet satisfying, yes. Because he starts off with the motorcycle, and then he also starts this episode. No, it doesn't end this episode, but he does start this episode on a motorcycle.
He's a little preoccupied at the end.
Yeah, and we also have the bookends of poor MK being put back in the same freaking box, I swear.
Oh, yeah. It was the same freaking box. I didn't even catch that.
I totally forgot. Laughing so much. I was like, so they're the ones who put him in the box. Because it has to be them. It's the same freaking box. Right, yeah. I was just like, oh, we finally figured out who put him in there. Because we had no idea this entire season.
But MK gets back into the box. Classic. Yes.
You know, not of his own volition, of course.
Of course, yeah. So Sunny is carrying a head to the River King, and the River King wants MK's head, but he gives some random dude's head.
What do you mean, random dude? It was the kid that MK killed in the previous episode.
Okay, I mean, in my opinion, it's a random... I don't know his name. That makes him random dude to me.
Evil cult friend?
Evil clipper friend.
He is a named character.
No, I know, but care. I don't know it. Only professionalism.
I saw that coming from a mile away. Once I saw that bag, like, that head in the bag, I was like, that can't be MK.
Well, yeah.
So, logically, who's the only other teen boy who looks enough like him who's been killed recently? Oh, it's evil cult friend.
convenience evil cult friend.
So, I was like, did he just take advantage of this teenage boy's death? Yes, he did. Yes,
maybe
he did.
Maybe Sunny does need redemption.
Maybe he does. I don't know. I was just trying to, like, puzzle out, like, what does Sunny think he's doing? So he's gonna bring this head to the River King, and then he and Vale are gonna, you know, skip off into the sunset. Like, it seems like he's... I was like, is he gonna try to bring MK with him?
I thought
on the
so.
Boat? Because, like, the River King... Because, like, wouldn't the River King notice that this kid looked exactly like the kid on the wanted poster, but then he didn't really seem like he was abandoning him either, because he was all like, oh, you know, we have. I feel like something he said in the beginning of the episode implied that he was going to try to bring MK.
I think he was.
So I'm just like, what?
But maybe he would have worn a hat or something.
Classic.
The classic hat trick.
It was just bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So. I mean, the first time I watched this, I was thinking that the River King didn't believe him at all, which was a good, you know, good catch on my part, but...
I did not catch that, but, I mean, it seemed like he was a little bit too... I was like, I looked at, you know, evil cult friend's head, I was like, he looks nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, he doesn't look anything somewhat, like it. I mean, he'd have dark hair. That's just about as far as you could go. I don't know. But I guess I see what you mean. Upon second... a second watching, you kind of saw, or maybe you saw in the first time you watched it, that he was a little skeptical.
Yeah, he seems to believe too easily, and he just seems like a really sleazy character, you know?
Oh, yeah, he has sleaze written all over him with his, like, weird fur jacket and, like, purple vest and, like, weird glasses. Like, yeah. Dude was sleazy.
Yeah. I was thinking he looked like a soul singer. From, like, the 60s or 70s or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand, like, why they made that choice to make him look that way.
I don't know. Anyway. So, the River King says, anchors up at midnight, and the stage is set.
You know, every time they say, you have to be here by this time, I always expect some kind of crazy rush to get there, and we didn't really get that in this episode. We just see, okay, Sunny's been KO'd. And then later on, we cut to him being in the boat. And we don't know if he ran to the boat or if the River King somehow got him.
I think the River King brought him to the boat. I feel like...
Right. It doesn't really Sunny seem like he would left. Be in a state to... He wouldn't really be in the right state to get there. But how does the River King know where he is?
Yeah.
Eyes in the sky is or something?
Yeah. And I guess if he was initially suspicious, like, if he had gone to the boat at midnight, would he have then been captured?
The River King? Or Sunny. The River King or the Sunny? So, if Sunny had
if he had gone at midnight with Vale and maybe MK, would the River King still have, like, attacked him and, like, captured him and done the same thing? Because I don't think the River King got any new information.
Oh, you don't? I got the impression that he somehow...
Well, he was saying
he didn't trust him, but that's true. It just feels like there's so many missing pieces in the whole story of Into the Badlands. Like, people just, like, know things, and we don't know how they know
things. Kept making notes as I was watching exactly about that point, because all of a sudden, people knew a lot of stuff that they hadn't known, and I have no idea how they came across that knowledge.
I feel like that happens a lot in this show. People just know things, and they don't really... There's only so much you can blame on intuition.
Yeah. Right? You don't know things.
I'm just like, how does everyone, like, he knows that she's pregnant, and she knows that they've been, like, how does everyone know everything? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Or at least establish something, right? Like, establish that the cogs are really gossipy, and that somehow that travels up the chain. Like,
yeah,
something.
That would, honestly, you know? That would super work. Not, like, completely, but it would definitely help.
It would help me believe believe why people know so much.
Yeah.
It was just very strange. Like, I kind of almost wish we had more interplay with the cogs, because they are just not...
They're completely not utilized.
The story, and I wish they were utilized, because, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's a revolution going on. And they keep saying, oh, there's going to be a revolution, and the cogs are going to do this and that. I'm like... Well, no one said anything about the cogs being revolutionized, but I feel like that'd be a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I think, cool, absolutely. I just introduce. Keep... Maybe because I was listening, like, to Les Mis last night, but I was just thinking about Les Mis.
Oh, I mean, like, that's not really what I was going for, but sure, I can see some connections.
The second season is going to be a musical.
Musical with kung fu fighting swords.
Honestly, that sounds awesome, and why haven't I seen that yet?
I mean, that's true. We haven't seen anything like that yet, have we?
Let's do it. Let's write it.
good luck with that.
Do you mind if we start talking about Vale?
Jade?
Oh.
I was thinking chronological, like Jade being poisoned.
Oh, yeah, we can deal with
whatever.
Jade's poisoning first.
Wait, no, but this is... actually, no. I don't really have anything about that, because...
Well,
that comes in later. Yeah, let's talk about...
Vale. I'm just going to go through her whole plot line, because she wasn't really connected with anything else, pretty much.
This was the most we got out of Vale in a single episode, I think.
I love Vale. I know you're supposed to love Vale, but I do. I love her. I want Vale season 2 of her just, you know, ridding the world of bad guys one logical statement at
kicking
a time.
Kicking butt and taking names.
Yes.
But yeah, Vale was awesome in this episode. I mean, do you agree that I think she was the most powerful and most interesting in this episode out of all the other episodes?
I completely agree. I would say that she was the most interesting person in this episode, period.
Yes.
Like, I want to see Vale.
There's a lot going on with
Vale
her.
Vale is season 2.
That's how we save the show, guys. We turn it over to Vale.
Yeah. I just love that she calls people on their crap, you know?
Ugh, it's so refreshing.
But she does have her moments of, eh. So we start off with a scene between Vale and Sunny, and she asks if he killed her parents.
Right. And then she confronts him about this, and he's like, no, oh, but, you know.
You could have stopped him.
Quinn used your sword to kill my parents, so you could have stopped him, which I was like, what? No, Quinn was going to kill Sunny if he tried to stop him. What are you talking about, Vale? I mean, maybe she's more like, you should have at least tried to do something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, realistically.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything that Sunny could do, and I think it was kind of unfair, Vale. But I think it was super awesome that she confronted him about it pretty much immediately instead of letting it stew for 3 seasons and all of a sudden they completely have to break up or something, you know?
Like, yeah, that I was just like, BS. Worst time for a breakup ever when you guys are trying to go on the lam, and I don't know. I was like, this doesn't seem like a very good time for a breakup. You just saw, like, it wasn't, I think in the hands of a more powerful actor could have been done better, but I think Sunny or Daniel Wu got across as, like, Sunny's heartbrokenness, like, well enough for me to be like, this poor guy.
Yeah. It's funny because, like,
just, like, the look on his face.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say, because, like, that face that he makes is the same face that my dog makes when, like, he'll rip something up, like a shoe or something, and he knows that it's wrong. So, like, afterwards you show him the shoe and he won't look at it and he just feels, like, completely guilty, but he... You know, he didn't stop him from doing it, of course. And that's the exact face that Sunny makes when, like, Vale confronts him. And I was like, ha-ha.
It didn't make me feel bad for him, but I feel like, again, in the hands of a better actor, it could have been that much more devastating, and it just wasn't. I just was like, aw, poor guy.
Yeah. It was just like, mm-hmm. To me, it just kind of felt like a cheap way of causing tension. Because...
Oh, between the couple?
Yeah, because, like, we've never seen any conflict between them before, pretty much, except for, right. Like, you know, this whole parents thing.
Well, we did see some strains, like, oh, you didn't tell me that this book was our way out of the Badlands.
That's true. There have been secrets. But, yeah. Like, a lot of the things that she's complaining about, like, you know, like, will it be different when they get out of the Badlands, like, and, like, that he's a killer, like, she kind of knew that going in, you know?
Right. She knew that he... Like, he's killed a ton of people. Like, that's not a secret.
Yeah.
They sleep together. She sees all the, you know, tattoos on his back. That ain't no secret.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Whatever.
But to continue on Vale, she gets abducted by the butterflies somehow.
At first, we think that it's Quinn, but it's not.
I mean, I was so relieved when it turned out to be the butterflies. Because I was like, well, they're not going to kill her.
She's a lady.
Yeah, and this is, like, the first time I think I see the Widow, like, look absolutely horrible. She looked like a, you know, for good reason. She's just been slashed, is, like, basically dying. It was the first time she looked completely out of sorts and terrible. And I was like, yeah, because every other time I've seen her, she's very polished and in control.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case here. And I'm super glad that Vale stood up for herself when, like, the Widow was like, oh, you're gonna be cleaning up after Sunny's mess. She just literally just applied pressure to the wound and just, like, the Widow's screaming. I'm like, you get it. You protect your man, Vale. I was like, see, that's how you know, like, there is tension, but, like, she's still willing to stand up for him.
She's still Team Sunny,
like,
all the way.
You can't talk about my man like that. Yeah. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah, like, I just, the lady love, like, the interplay between them was so great.
Between Vale and...
Vale and the Widow, yeah.
Yes.
But I guess I kept thinking about, like, the Widow and, like, her version of feminism. It's, like, the feminism that men think feminism is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm glad that Vale calls her out on it. I'm glad Vale's like, to Tilda, like, what kind of woman would have girls die for her cause? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So, I'm glad that Vale calls her out on it. Vale knows what's up.
Vale does know she's what's awesome. Up. Like, everyone needs to consult Vale before they make any decisions.
Basically, Vale should be a Baron.
Yeah.
I mean, she wouldn't be very good at killing people, but other than that, she could basically do the job.
Yeah.
People will be loyal to her because she's not freaking insane out of her mind. Like, but yeah, like, Vale was amazing. I just love how, like, sassy she got around the Widow. Yeah. It was beautiful.
It gave her a chance to actually, you know,
be a person.
Yeah, like, display her own character and not just react to other people, like, craziness.
Yeah. And yeah, she was super smart with the whole... So, two of these are poison, and one of them is, like, the antidote. So,
yeah, that was great. You know. I loved that. I don't know if she just carries around poison for fun, though. I don't know, but...
I don't think so.
So, how'd she have the poison?
She's a doctor. I'm sure there are some things that you need... I mean, I'm sure there are things that have multiple uses.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't think too much about it.
Yeah, not that... I just thought it was cool.
Yeah. I liked, like, that mother-daughter theme of, like... Between, like, Vale and Tilda, kind of.
Yeah. Although, I do have to say, I'm a little bit kind of like, Vale, you just told this girl to poison her mother.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
For the greater good. So that was a little bit strange to me.
Well, she didn't say poison her. It was just giving her an option.
Well, she gave her a choice. So, like, you can poison your mom. Or you can not poison your mom. But she did definitely point her towards that.
Yeah.
Like, so...
Meh.
So, the whole thing about putting Tilda in a position where she could possibly poison her mother, I thought maybe that was connected to her inability to poison Quinn in the previous episode.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Because she was, like, she was given the choice, like, I could poison Quinn or I could not poison Quinn, but she's a, quote-unquote, like, whatever, slave to her nature.
Right.
And can't go through with it. So maybe she's like in a weird kind of way trying to empower Tilda to be like, this is your choice, and you know, like, you shouldn't really have someone make calling the shots for you. Like, not having, you know, Quinn egging her on to poison or not poison her, and like, you know, you make your own choice, you decide what you want, whether you want to fight for this woman or not, and things like that. So, like, it was weird, but I do see a connection.
I like that episode. Yeah, I get it now.
Yeah. And, you know, especially with this, for once or twice, like, the episode title has been very apt, Hand of Five Poisons. I guess it was more like Hand of Three Poisons.
Yeah, they didn't really talk about what the title meant, because...
Well, the poisoning is it's a big deal if it happens.
Right.
If Tilda does, I mean, but I don't think she will.
Right, but there's only three poison.
Yeah. Should have been Hand of Three Poisons, not Hand of Five Poisons.
But, so Tilda gets back, and... the Widow learns, or she confronts Tilda about lying about MK.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see whether Tilda tells her the truth about the bottle, but the Widow does say that she's the only one who wants to protect MK, saying that she used to be like MK. What?
I know! My mind was just like, what do you mean you used to be like MK? What, you lost your powers or something?
Well, she did say that, like, if he keeps using them without training, he'll lose them, didn't she?
Oh, I mean, again, we talked about that in the last episode. I thought it implied that he would die or something, but I guess
maybe
he could
not.
Just straight up lose them. Like, I guess the Widow seems to have lost her demonic abilities, if she had any.
Yeah.
I don't...
When she was pretty
really
young,
sense.
Too.
It makes me think, like, did maybe she kill her husband out of a demonic rage? And then, because we see that he abused her with that scar on her stomach. So maybe he drew blood and she, like, went into that demonic rage mode, killed him, and then maybe the emotional toll of it, maybe she didn't mean to kill her husband, maybe she did, I don't know. But maybe the emotional toll of it sapped her powers, or she used it too much. I don't know. It raises a lot of interesting questions.
It does.
For a potential next season.
I guess I just kind of read the scar on her stomach that he kept abusing her.
Mm.
And it was like a periodic thing. And so, like, I can't imagine that he wouldn't have drawn blood before. I feel like by the time that he, you know, she was with him, she had already lost her powers, and that's what made her feel so weak, because she couldn't do anything about it, and, you know, once upon a time, she could have.
I see. I mean, it's an interesting note of her saying she's the only one who wants to protect MK. I mean, I do think we don't really know too much about the, I don't know, but they're not named. The mystical monks or whatever.
I like
the
it.
Guys
okay.
in, the guys in gold. I don't
the
know
guys
what
in
them.
Gold. That works too. It's more like orangey though.
Yeah, no, like the whole monkhood color thing is like an orangey, yellow, saffron color. But anyway, those mysterious monks who come out of nowhere in this episode, they seem to be like a lot like MK. They have the ability to use their power to kind of turn it on or off.
Yeah.
They're very much in control of what they're doing. I guess my only quibble with them is like they at no point did they try to talk to MK about, hey, you should join us because this. They kind of just kidnapped him.
Yeah. And like Sunny is trying to defend MK, and if they actually want like his best interests, why wouldn't they just be like, oh, you're defending MK, you know,
let's I don't work know together. Help you. Like, he's basically a father figure to MK, so like, I mean, not that Sunny ever tried to explain himself to the monks.
No, but they never asked either.
But, yeah, they never were like,
the job
who
for
are
explanation
you?
Lies
want?
On the kidnappers. Is that fair?
I guess. It was just like, I could have been more devastated, but I was definitely slightly devastated once they were separated.
Yeah.
Once everyone was separated, I was like, oh my gosh, how are they going to get out of this? How are they going to find each other again? I mean, we all know they have a tendency to find each other again. It just seems to be, like, fate/writing. Like, MK always somehow manages to get to find Sunny. Like, they got separated in episode one, but quickly reunited in episode two, I think.
Yeah.
Or was it even in that one episode that it all happened?
No, I believe it was the next episode.
It was just two episodes,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, they get separated in the first episode.
And then they reunite at the warehouse, I think.
So, clearly, like, it's not that hard for them to find each other. It's kind of like, you know, Star Wars. Somehow everyone finds each other on the freaking, whatever, Death Star thing. In the
Easy
new movie.
Peasy, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't doubt that they will find each other again. It's just, I'm just
maybe
like,
it'll take all season.
You see my face?
I saw your, yeah.
I was just
she
like.
She made just like this huge shocked face, like, don't even say
that.
Do that
to me. Oh my god, I just, if they did that, I'd be so pissed. I'd be so annoyed.
Like,
it's definitely possible, though. I mean, again, I was waiting all season for them to freaking leave the Badlands. I mean, technically, according to the River King, Sunny is finally leaving the Badlands.
Irony.
But come on. I mean, that's some Gift of the Magi-ish right
yep.
there. Like, I wanted him to leave with Vale and MK and Tilda. That's all I want. And I want, like, the Widow and the monks and whoever else to be chasing after them. But, like, that's what I want. That's probably not what I'm going to get.
No.
But that's what I want.
It's going to take a while for everyone to be reunited, I would say. Like, we've got Vale over there. We've got Tilda over there. We've got Sunny
well,
on
well,
the
Vale's
boat.
Back at home, mm-hmm. right? Tilda is with, I mean, I don't think she killed the Widow.
I agree.
So, I think she's still stuck with the butterflies. MK has been trucked across a desert or something.
It's only a day's drive, they said. I was like, how can the out of the Badlands be so close?
I mean, we don't know that the monks live outside of the Badlands. I mean, I guess we can assume that they do.
It looked like it.
Who knows? So, yeah, MK's trucked off to some foreign locale, and Sunny is like, okay, so we see MK being carried across a desert while Sunny is on a freaking, going across a river.
Right.
So they are probably as far apart as you can get.
Right.
In this kind of universe.
Yeah.
So it's going to definitely take them a long time to find each other. I don't know, man. The whole thing just got me kind of like, if it was a better show and I was more emotionally invested, I'd be really upset right now,
yeah.
But I'm not. I'm just kind of more, like, slightly dismayed at this point. Like, I can't believe, like, I don't really get the whole River King being sleazy. Like, I got that, but other than him looking sleazy, we didn't really get any foreshadowing of him turning on anyone.
But
did we?
I mean, Sunny did betray, I mean, not really betray. I mean, I'm putting betray in quotes because he right. didn't deliver on his bargain.
True.
But then True. Again, he never cashed in either. That was the thing that made me kind of go, hmm? Because, like...
Cashed in being, like, arriving at midnight.
Right, exactly, leaving. Expecting to leave.
Right, it's not like he was, like, he tricked him into giving him the ride.
And then he found out that the head was right. bad.
Like, the Rurikin could have just been like, well, yeah, you didn't give me his head, but, like...
You also didn't show up at midnight, so I think we're a little even, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't really... get why the River King is out for him, unless it's like out of pride or arrogance or something.
Maybe. I just don't like the River King.
No one crosses the River King. Like, okay.
All I right. don't like the River King. Maybe it's because it reminds me of, like, the book called The River King by Alice Hoffman, which I very much disliked for a variety of reasons, which we will not get into. But, so let's move on anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we have any other notes on Tilda or the Widow, since we did talk about that briefly?
No, I think that, I mean...
All their scenes were with
them, yeah, like, right, I so. Thought a lot of their moments were really good, but I don't really have any, like, anything to say about them. And I don't know. It just... It felt like a very... Like... I liked this plot line, don't get me wrong, but it felt like it was just kind of wedged in there. It didn't really seem to fit with the other things going on. Actually, a lot of the things didn't fit. Like, I'd like to talk about, like, Jade and Lydia next, and they, you know, they were just kind of thrown in there, too. Like, okay.
Oh, yeah, that was some weird-ish right there.
That was some weird-ish. So, do you mind if we move on?
Yeah, do you want to talk about Quinn, Lydia, and Jade? I guess Quinn. We're going to go on Quinn's little path or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, Jade and Lydia are... They kind of come in and come out, and then they're just...
They're very much separate.
Very small yeah. piece of both of them. So we find out that Jade was poisoned. Ah, and she is okay. And Lydia has been accused of poisoning Jade.
Right.
And...
But it was all set up.
It was all set up by obviously. Jade. Lydia has been... I have
to give Jade props. She planned that pretty well. I did not see that one coming.
I was very impressed.
I was impressed by Jade.
Good job, Jade.
For like the first time ever. But it's kind of all for naught. Or is it?
I don't know.
Because now I'm thinking in the next season, okay, so Quinn has been taken out. Lydia is off in like her father's religious whatever cult.
I think we're thing. Done with Lydia.
Right. No, I don't think we're done. I think they're going to... I think the writers are going to return to her. I don't really... Like, because they can't have... Like, they're going to somehow get that cult involved in the plot.
Yeah.
They set it up too much. They did. They have to get it involved.
I just... Lydia was only important when she was around Quinn, you know?
I mean, I would love to see them jettison that part of the plot, but I don't think they are going to. Yeah, I think they're going to keep true. It. But, you know, Lydia is... You know, out of the fort. Quinn is dead. So, this leads to, obviously, I don't know if I call them OTP, but Ryder and Jade being the, quote-unquote, natural leaders
yeah.
of the fort
now. That's how I think it was last.
I don't... I was not expecting that to happen at the end of the season.
Yeah.
That's not what I would have pictured. Of all the people to lead, I would not have been those two. But I guess I should have seen it more with Jade, because they did set it up so much with her being a leader in that one episode. Was it the previous episode where she's teaching Lydia how to pick Poppy
yeah,
and
yeah.
do all that? Like, just like the way the camera was and just the way the music and just everything. It was like she was so set up to be...
The new Baroness.
The leader. That's why I was like... Because that's just that one shot of her... I'm talking about the previous episode when she's, you know... When Quinn collapses and right. she stands up and starts talking to everyone, and like the camera is just making her look really big and imposing, and like the music's helping with that. Like, I was just like, oh my god, they're setting her up to be the next leader. But then when she got poisoned, I was like, or not. But then they brought it back in again at the very last minute. I was like,
yeah.
Huh. I think we both know who wears the pants in this relationship.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how, like, it works, like, that poison. Like, you can have a little bit and you're okay. Like, I guess
need some research. The thing that's
most suspicious about Jade is, like, if I was Lydia and I was poisoning someone, they would not survive.
Yeah.
Like, she's pretty good at this. She already she's done it before, you know?
But she's not, I guess that's the thing, she's not going to admit. I guess everyone seems to know or think that she killed Beatrice, but she's not going
to
admit it.
I wonder what happened to Beatrice. She doesn't want to admit it.
Whatever happened to Beatrice?
It'd be interesting if she wasn't actually killed by Lydia.
Yeah, because, you know, I guess the thing with this little mini plotline, I was like, I guess really, Lydia has done a really good job of turning everyone against her. Like,
yeah, good job.
Wow. Like, you turned your son against you, you turned Jade against you, and basically, they were both able to turn Quinn against you, because no one stood up for her once she got kicked out of the fort. I was like, well, and then, like, her father, she had left her father, and I was like, you really put yourself in a bad situation. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it was arrogance or something.
I feel like it was her complete devotion to Quinn. At the cost of every other thing in her life, she was devoted to Quinn, absolutely. And so she had made a lot of enemies in her son and in Jade, you know? And so the Baron, I don't know. Like, I feel like I was really wondering whether Quinn was of his right mind in this episode.
Don't we always wonder that?
Like, especially. You know what I mean? Like, I especially. Yeah,
you would
was
think
wondering.
That he would see through this ruse.
Like, you know, he didn't see what Ryder was planning. He didn't see what Jade was planning. Like, has he lost his touch or has he gone cray cray?
Yeah, I was like, bro, how did you not see Ryder was coming for you? Like,
dude.
You said some pretty horrible things to him. Just like that ending with Quinn where, like, he kind of slinks off into an alleyway, and then Sunny just rises up and stabs him. Like, he said his little snappy one-liner, and then didn't even try to fight. He didn't even try to fight off Sunny. He just kind of accepted.
Yeah.
He was like, well, I guess there's something I can really say at this point now, isn't it? And just like, stabby-stab, you're dead.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a better death than he deserved. Assuming he is dead. Yeah.
Please be dead. Please
don't
bring him back.
I mean,
please.
If you have, like,
God.
This is the kind of show that I can imagine that he's just chilling in the next season, saying somehow the sword was able to cure his, like, brain tumor, and he's totally fine now.
Quinn better be dead.
Quinn better be dead.
Quinn,
we are done with
better
Quinn.
Better be dead. If they try to bring him back in season two, that's how you know that show is over and done.
Yeah. You know what I think? What I was, like, really kind of hoping to hear? So, like, Jade is laying on the bed, right? Or lying on the bed, maybe. Yeah, lying.
Oh, right, me too. I was thinking about that, too.
And so she goes, Quinn, there's something I have to tell you. And you know what I was really hoping to hear? I thought she was going to say that she's pregnant.
We never did find out what she said to him. And does it even matter? I feel like it has to matter since they threw it in there. But we have no idea what she said. Like, because, like, did it help?
I thought it was kind of like against
his sneak attack. Like, what happened?
I thought it was something like that it was against Lydia. But I guess.
But what could she have possibly said that Quinn didn't already know? He already knows about Beatrice. Or whatever has this.
That's
suspicion.
True, actually. What he?
What could she have said to Quinn? That
she's
was
pregnant.
But who cares? Like, it had no bearing, and he's dead now. Bearing. Like,
yeah.
But he's dead now. Like, what is there? It has to be something that carries on, even in important even after he's.
Does it have to?
That's true. This is, we're talking about Into the Badlands, so yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, anyway. So Lydia is forced to leave. Her dress is so beautiful. Oh my god.
This was really the only time I felt bad for Lydia.
Yeah.
Like, truly felt bad for her.
She was just...
Because she really did turn everyone against her.
She was outmaneuvered by Jade. Like, that was...
Oh, yeah.
That was some good stuff.
I have to give props to Jade. I really thought she was a dumb idiot, but she really proved herself. She really proved herself the past episode or so.
Yeah. You were just so mad at her last episode, and I was just, like, sitting to myself, like, ha, 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 you have no idea.
I just was like, this girl is so freaking dumb. Like, what is she doing? But I understand. I understand. See, if I was Lydia, I'd be outmaneuvered in, like, 2 seconds. Like,
but you're not Lydia.
But I'm not Lydia, because I'm not, you know, attracted to a man who has blood on his sword, ugh, or whatever she said.
Ew.
You know, I do have to say, I think this might be the first time we see Jade not wearing blue.
Mm.
So, that's interesting. I mean, yeah, she's not wearing blue because she's, like, laying on the bed healing. But it's, like, her whole blue thing is very striking. And that does remind me, I was thinking about the connection. I don't really know if this still makes any sense, but Lydia is wearing that, like, crazy neon blue, not neon, but, like, very eye-catching blue in the first episode. And that's, like, Jade's color. So, like, I don't really know if that has any bearing on anything, but it's something to think about.
Yeah.
If Jade's color is this bright blue and Lydia in the first episode is wearing this bright blue nail polish, like, huh, what does that mean? Like, that she's gonna usurp her throne soon, or, like, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's interesting to try to puzzle it out.
Yeah.
Although I did remember, you know, we talked in the previous episode about how, Jade had the whole mirror thing going on, same as Lydia in that first episode. Yeah. I mean, I had written in my notes, sorry, I'm kind of going chronologically, but I had hoped that Sonny and Quinn would get to fight. No, he just stabs him.
Yep.
And then dies, so that didn't really work.
So, that happened.
Yeah. So that happened. Any more notes about Quinn or anything like that?
Well, I have a little bit more about Quinn, but we can get to him.
I have a lot more
about that. But anything about Lydia? I mean, she goes to see her father. She has her weird, awkward baptism thing. And did you notice, like, the dancing in the background?
Yeah, I did.
That was the most awkward, ridiculous thing that this show has ever given us.
It wasn't even dancing, it was just some bobbing up and down.
It was, like, swaying and stuff, like...
Oh, Lord, why? I guess it would have been really awkward if they all just stood still, but pardon me, it's like, it would have been better if just...
It would have. It would have felt a little more like a cult, but it just feels like... I don't even know. It was weird and awkward.
I thought it felt more like a cult since they were, like, you know, moving around, but... I don't know. I just felt with Lydia, like, at least she knew where to go to find her dad, but, like, the whole... It was a really fast turnaround for Lydia. Like, yes, yes, I will accept him. I was just like, I really don't believe you.
Yeah.
I really don't believe you at all. There's too much hesitance and too much, like in her face when, like, she embraces her father at the end. It's just, like, you just see so much, I don't know if doubt is the right word, but, like, definitely not fully embracing the religion.
See, I actually kind of disagree, though.
Okay.
I guess, in my opinion, it seems that Lydia has made a complete 180, and I don't know why that happened. I mean, I understand that she was thrown out, you know, and she's lost everything.
Right.
You know, she lost her home and her husband and her son. And so I totally get that she's, like, had, like, a really rough day and whatever, but, like, she makes a complete turnaround, but when I saw her kind of during her baptism thing, like, it seemed that, to me, that she was committed to this new life.
Oh, you believe her?
I believe her, and I don't know... I still don't understand why she turned around so quickly, and I feel like maybe it was just, like, a way to get her out of the way so the stage is set for season two. But, and, like, I don't know, like, if Lydia had been in the fort, like, how would that have gone down? Like, so Ryder would be Baron and Lydia would be Baroness?
Awkward Hamlet situation.
She joins Waldo in the back.
Oh boy.
It was just, I feel like it was convenient to get her out of the way, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe her conversion, but I think she's. The way I see it, I think she's going to valiantly struggle to be religious and ultimately fail. That's the feeling I get from Lydia.
It's certainly a possibility. But
I guess time will tell to see if that actually happens.
Then we go to the final plot, which is the main plot.
Quinn, Sunny, MK.
Ryder, everybody.
Whatever. Everybody else.
Plot. Everybody. So, Ryder has been taken in with the widow's plans.
I cannot believe, can I just say, I cannot believe he survived that. Oh my god.
Yeah.
He only survived because the writers wanted him to survive. There was no reason for him to survive that. MK should have killed him, man.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I just die, Ryder. Just die already. You're like Zuko, but so much worse.
Do not even compare them. Actually,
he's like Zuko, but so much worse.
I can see that. I don't think he's going to have a beautiful redemption arc, though.
Yeah, Zuko was an enjoyable character.
Zuko Ryder was a revelation.
Dante Bosco is a revelation.
True that. But the arc that Zuko got in Avatar The Last Airbender is, like, one of the pinnacle moments of redemption arc. Like, yes. In all of human history.
That was some great TV right there.
Okay, and let's just... Yeah. Let's not get started on that.
But yeah, getting back to the show.
So Ryder is maneuvering.
Right.
And
Ryder is maneuvering.
Just like Jade. Everybody's maneuvering in this episode.
The monks have been summoned by random cult leader, not cult leader, random cult guy.
Because of Lydia's father.
Yes, Lydia's father asked this messenger to go, you know, inform the people at the temple or whatever it was that he said, that there's a dark one in the fort. Yet somehow they arrive in the town. I guess it's part of the fort. We don't really know.
I don't know.
Feudalism is confusing. But when we entered their little temple area, I did remember thinking, this looks a lot like the chapel in...
I had the same thought. They probably just reused the set.
That's what I thought, but then I kind of looked at it and was like, well, it does seem like the benches were... I did think they reused it, but then I looked kind of carefully because the chapel does come back in this episode. I was like, they look different enough. It was just set up the same, which I don't know if that was purposefully done. Like, yeah. Ooh, there's connection. Or just kind of like, we're lazy.
I'm not sure. We'll have to see whether, if we get a season two, like, whether that scene, that setup comes back. Because I can definitely see that there could be parallels between, like, the religion that Quinn has been spouting and whatever religion that they seem to believe. But,
right,
you know, we'll see.
Yeah. You know, I was really hoping that MK was going to, you know, kind of deus ex machina his way out of this. Like, just get everyone out of trouble. Like, MK would, you know, activate his powers, be in control, and save the day, and, like, save Tilda, Vale, and Sunny. That did not happen.
No.
And that's probably for the best. I was just very hopeful. I know Deus Ex Machina is kind of cheap, but, like, I don't care. Like, I want them to live happily ever after.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was just like, MK, you need to get everyone out of the situation. But even MK could not pull through at the end. Yes, he did end up taking out... We don't really know. I guess we assume that he killed Jacoby, and we assume that Zephyr is taken out, but we don't really know for sure.
We don't really know. I don't think, honestly, I don't think either of them are dead. I don't know if we'll even see them again, but I don't think they're dead, you know?
Well, Zephyr didn't look like she was dead. I mean, MK did pull her up by the hair.
Yeah.
Because he's awful.
Classic.
But I don't think she's dead.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think they showed him. I can't remember, because I just watched it once and just recently, so I don't remember what exactly happened.
I feel like
we still have
the possibility of seeing both those characters again, but I'm not even sure if we will, you know?
Sure. Like, they left it open-ended because they want to have the freedom
the
to
options.
Do what they want.
So,
yeah.
Ryder tells Quinn that the widow came in through the tunnel, and Sunny has one of the only keys. So... Quinn believes Ryder that saying
stupid
Sunny is a traitor.
Why would everything Ryder has said has been wrong?
That's true. Everything.
Everything Ryder has said, like, in regards to running the family business, has been wrong. He has been wrong about everything. Quinn, why would you trust him?
That's, again, I was thinking, you know, is there something wrong in Quinn's head? Like, is this just the tumor? But I don't think it is. I think he's legitimately stupid.
Been outmaneuvered in this case?
I don't know, like...
He keeps saying the tumor has made me vigilant, or whatever.
Yeah.
Clearly not vigilant enough.
Because, like, he turned against Sunny, like...
That.
I was gonna snap, but...
But he did see that there was a lot of doubt going on with Sunny.
That's true.
Him refusing to kill Vale's parents, more hesitation when it came to... You know, I feel like there was another instance, but I can't remember it right now.
So, what...
But there have been times where Sunny has been kind of, like,
Yeah.
Exposing his, lack of confidence in Quinn.
Yeah. I had a few theories, actually, about why Quinn seems really eager to see the betrayal of Sunny. I thought possibly one option is that the betrayal of Lydia kind of pushed him over the edge. And that now he's seeing betrayal everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the
should have seen it from your son.
Boom! And then the other is that he saw what MK could do. You know? And so he used this as an excuse to kind of throw Sunny out and take MK, you know, and put him under, you know, his own tutelage and his own watchful eye. Yeah. I don't know if I'm just giving...
I don't really know why Quinn would think that that would work, though, because he knows he has to keep Sunny alive and reasonably well...
Maintained.
Maintained is the word. Well maintained in order for MK to cooperate. Like, it just seems like a very big liability here.
Yeah. But I guess he trusted himself to turn MK quickly onto his own side and not, you know, kind of forget about Sunny. But then the other thing, of course, is, you know, Quinn kind of seems like he has this long running plan, you know, like, oh, let's bring MK under his own watchful eye and keep, and, you know, have this huge power for himself and blardy blardy blah. But Quinn knows that he is dying. He can't do a long-term plan. He can't bring MK under his own. He's dying!
I almost forgot that the tumor was a thing in this episode.
Like, what does he expect is gonna happen? Like, MK's, like, gonna turn and be loyal to Quinn overnight? And honestly, why does Quinn even care at this point, man?
You're dying, dude. Deal with it.
Let the mortal world go.
I just don't... Yeah, Quinn's plan made no sense. He's trying to sweet talk MK. I'm like, as if this is gonna work. Nothing else has. The only thing that's worked, quote unquote, is MK is loyal to Sunny because Sunny doesn't treat him like crap.
Yeah.
Like, unlike every other person in this series. I mean, I guess you could say the Quinn hasn't done anything directly to MK that was horrible, but I mean,
he's done a lot of bad things.
He's a horrible person. We all know this. Like, why would he want to work for you?
And even MK knows.
Yeah, MK's like, I don't want to kill people. And that's literally all Quinn wants you to do. So why would he work for him? Oh, yeah. Quinn. You're a mess. You're just a mess.
Yeah. I really liked the scene where Quinn confronts Sunny in the chapel. But
yes. He knows exactly what to say to push Sunny's buttons.
Yeah.
But I was thinking more like that's more like in the prison torture scene.
Yeah, that too. Torture scene. But like, I wish Sunny fought back or like did anything besides like pout.
Sunny, we've seen you take out hundreds of men in a warehouse. Surely, don't call me Shirley. But surely you can take out. But I guess there's also the whole fact that he's in the middle or somewhere inside the fort. So it's not like escaping. Yeah.
I mean, Quinn even says it. Like, is he going to fight through all of, like, the Clippers and the Colts and whatever? But at the same time, I feel like, would they even stay loyal to Quinn once he's dead? Sunny is the most powerful dude around. Like, why wouldn't they just be like, oh, okay.
Bow down. Like, we had that whole thing where it was, like, where Zephyr talks to Sunny about saying, hey, you could actually become the Baron if you wanted to. I don't know, Sunny. I feel like you made some pretty poor decisions during the course of... Not the course of the season.
This episode specifically.
Just this episode specifically. It seemed like he was treading pretty carefully and doing an okay job, but then everything just kind of fell to the wayside.
Everything he did this episode was no bueno.
Yeah.
Like, from the River King to Quinn and...
I just feel like he should have known that Quinn was coming for him. Like, he should have been better prepared.
Yeah.
Like, you showed so much hesitation in killing certain people and doing certain tasks. Like, you have to know that Quinn is going to be...
He wasn't...
Be more paranoid of keeping an eye on
and
you.
He wasn't ready to attack him. It didn't seem like he had finally been pushed enough to kill Quinn until he was all, like, chained up or whatever.
Well, he was also, you know, threatening Vale.
Yeah.
So, there was that.
There was that whole scene. And again, okay. So, Quinn says, essentially, that Sunny's kid is going to be raised, you know, to be loyal to Quinn.
That was, like, the most disgusting thing Quinn has said in, like... That, to me, that was, like, the worst thing he said in this episode.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. And I was thinking, you know, maybe he's gonna take his kid and raise him as, like, a Clipper. But then, you know, Quinn doesn't really have an offspring that he likes, either.
And also, Quinn is going to die.
But that's exactly the point. Quinn doesn't have time to do any of this crap. He can't raise a kid. He's dying. He won't make it to the next season. Not, like, the next
You're
season of TV.
Die,
but I mean, like,
dude.
The next season of, like...
But he also didn't make it to season two.
True that.
But I'm...
Yeah. So, Quinn, God, it's just... It's a hot mess.
You're so delusional. You're so delusional, Quinn.
Yep. So, Sunny gets a visitor. His name?
It's Waldo!
Where is he? I don't know. How many jokes can I make about that? I don't know. Don't test me.
Right.
So, Waldo frees Sunny, but he is the traitor.
So, see, that was a spoiler that I got.
Ah.
I saw that Waldo was a traitor, but I didn't realize who he was betraying. I thought he had betrayed Sunny.
No.
But in actuality, he actually just betrayed Quinn / the fort in general.
I see.
I got spoiled for that. So, I think when I was watching... Was it when I was watching episode 5 or episode 6? I think it was when I was watching episode 5, I was like... Looking at it through the lens of, oh, Waldo is going to betray Sunny, and I was kind of mad at him for that.
Aww.
But actually, he didn't. He actually came to help Sunny. He was more like on the Widow's team and was helping.
Team Widow.
Team Widow and
the Widowlands.
Did you say aw when I about a comment, or did you say aw to your dog?
No, my dog's right here.
I was like, why did you say aw? And then I realized you were talking to your dog.
He just needs love.
Just like Sunny. Sunny.
So, Waldo tells Sunny to get on the River King's boat and not to be there when everything goes down. And is, you know, looking after Sunny. Who was his cult.
I mean, I think he should have listened to Waldo. I don't know about listening to him saying, get on the boat. But I think not sticking around and trying to save MK in this situation would have been a better choice. True, Quinn would have survived, so that would kind of be messed up, but...
Yeah, I think Sunny did the best thing he could. I mean,
okay.
He has a heart, you know? Even though we don't really see it. But he cares about MK, and he couldn't just leave him there, you know?
Yeah, unless he wanted to kill Quinn pretty badly, so...
Yeah, so killing Quinn, and he got to do that, and it was great. The whole thing kind of worked, you know?
Yeah. Can I just say, flipping back a bit to when Quinn was talking to MK, that whole thing, was that, like, the Capitol building or something? What building was that? It was, like, a D.C., Washington, D.C. building.
Yeah, it looked like the Capitol to me.
it like, just randomly got super political.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. And I was like,
I kept waiting for some interesting tidbit of what happened to the world. And it was honestly so generic that, like, it was such an unnecessary tie-in. It was just like, we've had this interesting prop in the background. Let's draw attention to it because it was really hard to get.
Because some poor PA worked on 10 hours to build this, like, you know, small-scale model of the Capitol, and we need to somehow utilize it. Nah, I'm kidding. People don't care about PAs in this industry. although I'm pretty sure some PA had to assemble that for, like, 10 hours. Yeah, film industry. That's why I'm not in it anymore.
I mean, Quinn was talking to MK, and I was just like, how many times do you think he's given a speech just like this, you know?
Oh my god.
It was so slick.
He's like that parent who tells you the same thing over and over again. You're like, oh my god, I know the story. You told me 5 times already. I just don't understand. Again, just briefly noting, I don't understand how Quinn just knows everything. Like, how does he know? When he was talking to MK, he just seemed to know everything about everyone.
Yeah.
He knows everything about Sunny. He knows everything about MK. I'm like, but you didn't know that he had this power until very recently. How do you know everything?
Yeah.
And also, why do you think bringing MK, like, to a brothel is going to help your cause? He's, like, 15. Like,
well, I mean, dude, he said that he took Sunny around the same age.
Yeah, but Sunny had been raised and born in a horrible environment. He didn't, like, MK is from another, I mean, not that, I think Quinn does not know that he's from Azra, but he's from a completely different environment, has no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, this is not something that MK wants or cares about, and it makes even less sense when you, maybe it's just a whole misogyny from Quinn, but just seemed to be like, oh, like, you don't want your first time to be with Tilda, you want to impress her. I was like, I don't buy any of this, and I don't understand how Quinn is buying any of this.
Well,
like,
I don't...
Aside from him being super misogynistic, like...
I don't know how much Quinn buys it exactly, but it's something to definitely get MK on his side. That said, this
I don't
is...
believe it.
I think it's a very old belief. This whole thing about essentially using your wife to reproduce and having fun in a brothel because,
yeah,
you know, the idea that women aren't sexual creatures.
Yeah.
That's a very Victorian kind of way of thinking.
It's a very misogynistic way of thinking.
Well, it's
yeah,
the same thing.
true.
Well, I mean, okay, you know what? I'm not gonna even go there. Let's just keep going. I was gonna,
okay,
yeah.
You can go there. Are you sure?
No, I'm sure. It would just be a stupid history tangent. Let's just keep going.
Okay, bring it up. Talk to me about it after the podcast. I'm trying to think of,
like,
anything else I had about Quinn.
Like, I was just, it was so annoying that everyone seemed to suddenly know everything, you know? Like, how did he know about Tilda? Like, how he felt about her? I mean, he could have guessed based on what he may have seen, like, in the previous episode, but how did he
know?
Yeah,
we literally have no other time where Quinn sees Tilda and MK
together. Yeah.
That was it was one time. I guess, I know... I get into ruts like, or not ruts like this, more like writing kind of fails like this.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a good writer, but I expect more from people who write for TV. Like, I sometimes have trouble in the past when I've written stuff. I'm writing things and I realize I'm writing things based on what I know, but not based on what the characters know.
Yeah.
But I would never claim to be a good writer. I'm an amateur. These TV people should know better than to, you know,
yeah,
to, like, screw up like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Like, how, like, I feel like it was another instance of that, like, where the writers know what's going on and we viewers know more about what's going on.
Right.
But then that shouldn't translate to the characters because the characters should only know what they know.
Like, yeah. Like, usually a lot of times in TV shows, it seems like it'll take the main characters, like, forever to figure something out. Like, you know, maybe 8 episodes to reveal, you know, the true meaning of whatever they're trying to figure out. And then...
K-drama.
And then the villain will literally learn one piece of information and figure it out immediately. Like, maybe this guy's an alien. Sounds like a great idea. Must be true.
Maybe that just makes a good villain. A good villain is someone who knows what's up all the time.
Well, it's more like, you know, you spent so much time following the protagonists, you know, putting all the clues together, and they just don't feel like doing that for the villain. So they're just like, oh, they know everything now. Cool.
I guess it would just take that much longer.
No, like, I completely understand why it's necessary. Like, I'm not, like, trying to undermine that. Like, I completely get it, but it's still frustrating, and it makes your villains seem a lot smarter than your heroes.
Yes. Yes, it does.
I think when you kind of can avoid that, it's just best for everyone, because it's very frustrating to watch.
Mm.
So.
Right. So back to Quinn. I was just like, when he... I don't even understand why he thinks it's a good idea to go into town by himself with this one cult. I mean, even...
He seemed to kind of know what was going to happen.
Yeah, he seemed to be like, well, this might lead to my inevitable demise, but who gives? And, like, I guess even even the characters in the show are like, why would he do something so dumb? And
he's just like, and YOLO. Like,
well, he's just arrogant and accepted.
Well, I mean, it seems like somehow he knew what was going on. Not about Ryder, but he seemed to kind of have a good idea about everything else, you know? Which I have no idea how he would have even known that. But I think the way that he's thinking is that, you know, MK can take down anyone.
He didn't seem to be too worried about his own safety. He just slinked out of the...
Yeah, he just bounced.
Into the darkness. I mean, I guess he did see that as long as he was out of sight, the MK demon character wouldn't attack him. Because he wasn't
very afraid of the dark.
He was hiding in that stairwell when MK was attacking everyone in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Under the fort. I don't know, man. I keep comparing this show in my head to, like, Breaking Bad, because there's a couple things that I
oh,
like
about
similar.
Breaking
Bad that they're not similar. but they are both AMC shows. I'm not going to spoil it in case you decide to watch it, and I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen Breaking Bad, but there is one season or two where there's a villain who is basically untouchable. Like,
yeah.
This villain always has, you know, either bodyguards or he's just, like, prepared to the max, mm-hmm. is always vigilant, much more vigilant than Quinn, and is, like, you know, always prepared. And it's, like, a big crux of that season is, like, how do we kill off this villain when he's so untouchable?
Yeah.
And, like, when it finally happens, when after a myriad of failed attempts, it finally works. It was just so satisfying.
Yeah.
It was just like, and the relief of it too. And I can kind of connect this to Orange is the New Black. There's also a villain in one of the seasons that you just like, just die already. Just die. Oh my God, why won't you die? And I just want, it's what I feel is like when it's hard to kill off the villain, it's just that much more rewarding to see them fall.
Absolutely.
And also, in those two shows, the Orange is the New Black and Breaking Bad, when those particular villains die, their deaths are spectacular, and you are, like, cheering, you're, like, standing up, cheering, and it's, like, an epic death. But I got none of that from Quinn's death. I mean, it's not, I did think it would be hard to kill him, but I didn't think it would be that hard. It just felt like the stakes, you know, like he just wasn't, Sonny had so many moments where he could have done it, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he wouldn't face repercussions, but it, like, he was pretty open to attack.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just the fact that there was no fight, there was no anything, he just straight up kills him at the very end, and we don't even see him die, we kind of see him, like, you know, we do see the sword go through him and he kind of falls, but like none of those elements were there. There was no, yes, there was relief that he's dead, but it just wasn't, it didn't feel like it was earned, you know?
Yeah. I don't mind him dying like a, like an embarrassed
dog.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's just right here at my feet.
Not your dog. I mean, like a figure of speech.
I don't mind him getting stabbed in a back alley and that just being his death. Like, that's cool. I don't care. Like,
right.
Because we didn't need him to be untouchable because he was literally already dying, you know?
That's true.
So, I mean, I didn't like Quinn, and I really hope that in the next season they'll set up a bigger bad, I guess.
And more interesting, complex.
Yeah, movie. Instead of Quinn, who, you know, we've just been blaming a lot of his missteps on his tumor, but it's really just lazy writing, kind of, you know?
I mean, I think also another problem is they kind of tried to make the widow a villain, and, like, I wish they just stuck with one, you know? Not try to balance it out between, oh, Quinn's a villain and the widow's a villain. It should have just kind of been more like the widow is...
It was so much about, like, power games and stuff, you know? And it was, like, political intrigue and blah, blah, blah. And it's just...
Again, not what I was expecting going into the show. Not at all.
Didn't do it well enough to pull it off, I think.
Yeah. Came for the kung fu, stayed for the kung fu.
Yeah, exactly. But, like the Jade-Lydia interplay, I could have done without entirely. Like, everything, right. Like, they could have just disappeared and I would be fine. Ryder was probably necessary, yeah. But, like, you could cut so much stuff and I think it would be a better, tighter show.
It would have been interesting to see the show go in a different direction. Like, again, I know it's supposed to be very, very, very loosely based off of Journey to the West, but, like, I really wanted to have that Journey to the West vibe. I really wanted, you know, a group of characters going on an adventure to escape.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, yeah, we get different, you know, mini villains every week or so, but, like, I don't know. I did not think political intrigue was the name of the game, you know?
Yeah.
I just didn't think that was going to happen. But that was, like, the big thing this season. I hope they get rid of it, because it's kind of...
weak.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting,
you know, the journey theme will kind of come more in the next season, you know, when they all have to...
Well, they are finally out of the court. So, yeah, I hope they start doing something with that.
I mean, I don't know, because, like, if this whole journey is supposed to be how to get out of the Badlands, it seems like that's a really tiny journey. Everyone talks about how bad it is. It seems like
the journey is getting to Azra.
Okay.
That's what I think it is, or that's what I want it to be. That's not to say that this will happen, but I think it should be they are on a journey to get back to Azra. That's where Sunny is from. We finally get confirmation of this. Sunny is from Azra. MK is from Azra. Tilda probably should leave the butterflies. And Vale should probably leave the fort. And hence, everyone should go to Azra and everything will be happy again.
Perhaps, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's probably not what's going to happen.
No.
But I would like for them to at least... attempt to regroup and get to Azra and I guess figure out MK's whole killing situation, because that's not very good.
No, that's not really a great thing to be doing.
I don't know. It was just like my expectations going into the show were very, very, very different from what actually happened.
Yeah, it was a lot darker and grittier. I guess not the violence, but the tone, you know? Like, everyone is just spends the whole show, like, hopeless and thinking, like, this is the worst thing that has ever happened to all of humanity, is being stuck in the Badlands.
I mean, I guess feudalism is terrible.
I mean,
in its own way.
There are a lot of horrible things and a whole lot of horrible situations, and it just felt like, not that I wanted the characters to pick themselves up and just go about their lives, but I just... they felt so stagnant.
Yeah.
They just weren't, they didn't.
Character development wasn't really a thing that happened.
And they were just so subject to their own fate. Like, you know, that whole talk about, you know, being creatures of the, whatever it was, the.
Yeah, yeah, slaves to
their own nature, yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Slaves to their nature, or whatever.
It just was so annoying.
That's like anti-character development.
Yeah.
Like, that's such an interesting idea, and it'd be interesting to see people try to fight it, maybe.
Yeah. I mean,
like, maybe fight the idea that they can never change, but that is so anti-character development right there.
And, you know, the creators have teased in season two that Sunny gets a redemption arc, and...
Can they just get out of the freaking... Can they just regroup and leave? I want them to go on adventures and journeys. Sorry, I'm, like, rattling around my...
Yeah, like, when you talk about, like, adventures and journeys, you imply, like, a much lighter, happier story. Like, that's what I think of as this...
It can still... You know, yeah, and it can still be action-packed.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it can't have action to it, but it doesn't mean that everyone is, like, 3 seconds away from committing suicide either.
Yeah. No. It's just really dark, and it's not... It doesn't really... It's not that it doesn't work.
It doesn't
just
benefit the show.
Yeah. Like, another AMC favorite, like, Walking Dead. I haven't watched it, but, you know, I understand that when you have zombies, things are gonna be hopeless. It benefits the show. It makes
zombies are pretty hopeless.
Complete and utter sense.
Getting trapped in a place where you have, like, cars and a bicycle...
It's not hopeless.
Yes, basically.
It might suck immensely, but
the characters have enough power that I believe that if they tried, they could get out of the Badlands. And they just, and maybe it's just the show not setting up how dangerous, like, the journey out of the Badlands is. Maybe it's that, because, like, at the very end, like,
clearly, if you have a car, you can make it through the desert.
Yeah, like, I don't get it.
I'm just saying, Waldo's like, yeah, many a man has, you know, whatever, like, didn't have enough water to cross the desert or anything. I'm like, bro, I just saw these people in a black pickup truck drive across that same freaking desert.
Yeah.
What are you talking about,
yeah,
Waldo?
So, like, MK is all like, there's no easy way out of the Badlands. Like, he says that. That's, like, the ending thing. And, like,
makes me want...
Okay. Well, that's cool. But I don't believe you.
Makes me want to re-listen to his episode one intro voiceover.
Ah.
And see how it sounds, if it's related to the...
Mm.
Well, if I remember correctly, the intro is just him saying, you know, there are no guns, and...
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about the whole gun thing. But that was stupid, and it's stupid all the way through.
I really want someone to reveal a gun at, like, the very, like, last minute or something. Like, last, final episode of Into the Badlands, there's a gun. Just somehow.
And it kills Sunny.
Just somehow. It kills Sunny instead.
Gun beats sword.
True. True. I just, you know, I can't get over how dumb Quinn was in this episode.
Yeah.
I do have to say, I really loved it when the monks came out and started, like, chi blocking or whatever they were doing, like chi blocking MK.
That was awesome.
That was kind of cool. I noticed the monks had a very interesting combo of music. So their music, so I really was listening to the theme music this episode. I love the Azure theme music. Anytime you see, like, the pendant or the book, it is just, like, this, like, nice, like, mystical music playing. It's not, like, mystical like the cult.
Yeah.
It's 80s music, but, like, it's mystical in a better way. And I noticed when the monks came in and started fighting, their music was kind of a combination of, like, the cult's 80s music and the Badlands guitar Sunny music. It was a very interesting combination. Yeah. I have to go back and listen to it again, but I like that kind of sound design thing. I was, again, really upset that Sunny was separated from MK. I was like, no, why? They're basically father-son.
Basically, yeah. You know what I did like?
What did you like?
Sunny, you know, is about to fight these mystical monks, and he does what I call the Darth Maul, which is make one super sword.
Make a super sword. Remind me. I was kind of, like, trying to take notes on my phone and watch at the same time.
So, like,
I
wasn't really he has, like, two swords and he connects them. So, he has a double-edged.
Oh, see, I totally missed that. See, I saw that he had a huge sword, but I didn't really understand how he got a huge sword. But now that you say that, now I understand.
Yeah.
Because I remember hearing the music change and I looked up from my phone. I was like, what? It just looks like a really tall, shiny sword.
And he, like, he disconnects it and, like, it doesn't even last long at all. Like, it seems really pointless. It was just like, look, I have a new trick. But it was still, like, I liked it. I mean, you know.
I have to go back and rewatch that particular scene.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, that's kind of cool. Just thinking back to the stuff we talked about in previous podcasts, like Pacific Rim randomly pulling out the sword at the very last minute.
Yep.
OMG.
Callbacks.
Why did you do this earlier?
And then Sunny's sword breaks. Like, if that isn't over-the-top symbolism, I have no idea what is. It was just so excessively symbolic that I was just like, meh, okay, that happened.
It was too much for you.
It was a little too much. I feel like that kind of crossed the lines. Like, we get it. Sonny's a changed man. Like, he's all about, like...
But he basically, like, Quinn, you're the last person I'm going to clip, and I'm done after this.
But still, Quinn is now the only person that Sonny killed of his own volition.
I'm glad to see my words have started to impact your vocabulary. Volition. But yeah, this is true. He's the only person he, you know.
Well, we don't really know his past either.
Right. He could have theoretically killed a cult in his training or something.
It's possible he killed people for a sport. I don't know. I feel like the monks would have done a lot better by, like, talking with MK and Sunny and being like...
I think so too, but they were kind of like... act and then talk later type people.
That doesn't work very well. I mean...
Yeah.
No. So, what do you think? Do you think these monks are good guys or bad guys?
I think they could potentially really help MK reign in his power, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't really... Maybe it's like... I'm trying to think from their point of view. Maybe it's like, well, we know... what to do with his power and how to rein it in. Everyone else is going to try to use and abuse this kid, so we're not going to listen to anyone because they're just going to lie to us and manipulate. I don't know. I'm trying to see it from their point of view, like the monk's point of view.
I feel like there are a lot
I don't have enough information to determine if they're good or evil yet, although I don't see them being pure evil because I feel like they're going to help MK control his power, which is good.
Yeah. I feel like I don't know if there's a trope name for it or anything, but I feel like it often falls into the category of, like, the teacher who teaches an important lesson, but then basically then tries to abuse the student and the student's power. And so, like, MK...
Is that a trope?
I don't know how... I'm not explaining it well. I guess I'm thinking that MK is going to chill out with the monks... learn important stuff, but then the monks will cross the line and MK will have to, you know, fight his way out or something.
Sure. Either MK is going to fight them and leave, or they're going to let him go.
I don't think they are. I feel like...
Do you feel like more like the fight?
I feel like they're not, like, super bad guys, but I definitely think that their interests... are going to conflict with MK's. I feel like MK can learn things from them, but in the end, MK cannot stay with them. And
well, we all know he can't stay. His goal is to get back to Azra, so he's not going
right,
to stay.
But
with
like,
them,
I feel like
or not willingly.
They're going to try and use his power for their own cultish purposes.
Yeah. I see that. That's definitely a thing that could happen.
I don't know. It's just speculation. You never know.
Okay. Yeah, no. I think that makes sense. That does make sense.
There's a piece of me that kind of just hopes that Quinn didn't fight Sunny because he knew he was going to die from the tumor and he wanted a death that would be quick. But we've seen no inclination of him to be thinking that way. So that's just kind of my own. That's like my own headcanon. But... we haven't gotten that hint at all. Because, like, from what I've seen of Quinn, like, he wouldn't want this slow demise. He'd want, like, a quick death. But we haven't seen that. He hasn't been maneuvering for, like, anything. He's playing the long game, even though he's dying.
I just think it would have made more sense for him to fight MK or to fight... Well, not fight MK. But for him to fight Quinn... for Quinn to fight Sunny. I think that's kind of how he would have wanted to go.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
Maybe he didn't have a sword. I don't know.
Quinn just seems so blindsided by everything in this episode. He just seems so stupid. And I don't... It just goes against everything that I've seen from him in the past
episodes.
So it was just like... It was like Jade went from being super dumb to really smart. And Quinn went from being super smart to really dumb. It was like they reversed positions or something.
She sucked it out of him.
Yeah, I guess. That's a horrible way to phrase it, but... I mean, clearly someone got smarter and someone got dumber, and I mean, I know causation doesn't equal correlation, but, like, really?
Really?
Really, really, really. What is going on with them?
Yeah. So, I mean, the episode ends, and everyone's separated, and Sunny is on the River King's ship, about to be sold, essentially, as a slave. So...
I don't understand how that's going to work. His skill is killing people, and now he's going to be a slave to kill other people... But how, wouldn't he just kill his master? None of this makes, my brain hurts.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to work at all. And, you know, the River King says that he is not a killer, but he's a traitor.
What?
That is something.
Who says that?
Yeah.
Who says it about themselves?
Yeah.
What? I don't get it.
I don't know. It's weird.
Who proclaims proudly that they are a it was just strange. And I'm sorry, but I was laughing the entire time that MK was stuck in that car because that freaking pickup truck looked like it came from 2015.
Yeah.
I was laughing the entire time. I was like, am I watching a car commercial? Like, what is this brand new car? Every other car we've seen looks like it came from the 1920s or 30s or 40s. What is this 2015 car? Like, clearly the monks have some access to some high-tech-ish.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how they got to that truck.
I mean, like, are the monks taking MK out of the Badlands?
I think they're taking him to their temple. I don't know if the temple's out of the Badlands, though.
Because, like, it seems like, you know, MK was like, there's no easy way out of the Badlands, right? And... He said that as the truck was driving across the desert. So I'm like...
Oh, so you think that they're out of the Badlands.
I feel like they... But that doesn't really make sense in the story, like...
Yeah, I'm trying to think how would that work, because the messenger from Lydia's father's cult...
Yeah, that was... He just...
Ends up hiking quite a ways to get to this temple. So if this temple is out of the Badlands, then dude must be pretty hardy to have made it so far.
Well, but then again, it seems like, you know, like... This cult religion of Lydia's father seems to be a lot more than it appears, and it seems to kind of be lying to the people that follow it. And
what is the purpose of them lying to them, though?
You know? Yeah, I'm just, like, what if a lot of the Badlands lore is just made up?
Oh, like propagated myths or something? That could be really interesting. It's like the Matrix.
Yeah, exactly.
We're circling back to our very first Into the Badlands episode where we talked about the Matrix in the very beginning.
Oh.
And now we're ending with the Matrix.
Boom!
Bookends! Boom! Had to be done.
Very nice, very nice.
That was not planned. It just happened.
Okay.
Can
I just say one more thing?
You have any final comments for this show?
Two comments, actually.
Yes.
One, super random. There's this scene with Zephyr and Ryder where they're looking over the water, and there's this bridge.
Sorry. There's a bridge?
Yeah, there's a bridge. It looks like a super modern bridge in the distance, and I'm just like, I have no idea. Like, maybe I'm just underestimating their bridge building skills or something, or maybe it existed before the Badlands existed or something. And maybe I'm just probably reading in way too much, but it was bothering me. It was just an eyesore the whole scene where I just couldn't stop staring at this stupid bridge. I'm like,
oh, I hadn't even paid attention to it at all. But that is so funny that you mentioned that.
It was just like,
because it has no place in the
show. Yeah, it didn't look like, it just, they found a great place to shoot and they're just like, gosh darn it, there's a bridge there. Let's just ignore it.
And let's hope our viewers ignore it. They should have tried to mask it or edit it out or something.
Maybe the bridge is meaningful. I'm kidding.
I just don't think it would have been that hard. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd have to go back and look at the shots. But that wasn't a very long scene.
No.
So it's feasible that they could have masked it out or edited it out, you know? And then no one would have been any wiser. If it's just a sky, then it's not too hard to...
Yep. I don't know.
Oh, Badlands. Yeah. You gotta up your game if you want another season, man. You gotta up your game. Yeah.
Then, the last thing I have, really, is the scream that Sunny gives. He screams, oh, no! Boy. Like, this is a Revenge of the Sith Darth Vader scream that everyone makes fun of because it is, like, the worst thing you've ever heard in your entire life. And I'm just like, Sunny, I have been so lenient with your acting because I like you. I think you're great. You're just...
And hot,
yeah. And you know what? I think that it's not really your fault as much as it's the writer's fault. But in this particular case, man. And maybe it isn't your fault, maybe it's the directing, I don't know, but God, why? Why? Why?
The beats were completely off. Yeah,
like, he finds out, and there's this pause, and it's like, you can see the wheels turning, like, I should say something.
I think it was mainly the pacing, like, if he had screamed earlier, like, when the River King started closing the door and leaving or something, if he started screaming earlier, part of the acting, too, like, if his acting was better, and he was, like, more passionate and upset and, you know, intense about the screaming. Like, there were just so many things that were just going wrong there. And
no.
Yeah, it fell flat for me, too. I was like, it wasn't, like, the worst, no scream, but it wasn't very good.
It was in my top 5. It wasn't
very good. It wasn't your top 5. Nevertheless, I am... If they do get to make a second season, I will be watching, and I am anticipating things will get better, hopefully. Mm-hmm. If they don't make another season, I'll be sad and forever wonder what happened to MK and Sunny and Vale and Tilda. But
it seems...
I would really like for them to at least give me some closure as to do they freaking leave the Badlands? Ooh, leave the freaking Badlands, man.
Yeah, right.
So I do want to see a second season.
If it doesn't continue... I've seen speculation that it'll continue in comic form, which seems to be...
I could probably live with that.
...the popular thing to do. I dislike comic... Well, you know that, but I really dislike comics.
I'm the opposite. I really like comics.
I have a lot of trouble getting into them and enjoying them the same way I would as a book or as a TV show. So I...
You gotta find well-written comics with good art.
Yeah, I guess.
It's a struggle, dude. It's a struggle. Also depends on the format, because if it's serialized versus if it's, like, more like a graphic novel, like, one short-ish story told in one book, then it makes a difference.
Yeah. I mean, I have read, like, different spin-off comics of different TV shows and stuff. Like, I never got into the Buffy comics, but I did read some of the extra material that went along with Firefly. And, like, it's not that I dislike, like... continuing through comic form exactly. It's just when I read it, and you know, Avatar the Last Airbender, same thing. It's just, it doesn't feel like it's connected to the rest of the story, and I, because of that, I just don't have a tie to it, so I almost never finish it.
Oh, that's your beef with it.
But I also don't like comics as well. That's also a part of the problem. Oh. Like,
I mean, I do think when it comes down to the comic adaptations or TV adaptations of the comic, they are very different, which is, I think, fine. But I'd also, you should give comics more of a try. Like, there are some really amazing ones out there. It's just, again, what you're looking at. If you're just, like, looking at serialized DC or Marvel comics and that's not your thing, you know, there are other comics and graphic novels out there. Mm-hmm. There are a lot, you know, more novel-esque. Yeah. Or, you know, about different subject matter, which I find very interesting and intriguing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, if you want viewers, listeners, you're not viewing me, listeners, if you want, you know, webcomic or just regular comic suggestions, graphic novel suggestions, hit me up on sfincolor@gmail.com or, you know, other platforms like Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook. I will gladly give you suggestions. I really hope that we have enough emails to do an email episode. That's a dream, Melissa. That is a dream. Day. That is a dream. One day in like 2 years in the future.
Yeah, exactly. So do you have anything else about Into the Badlands before we finish up? Because this is it.
That's all I have to say. We finished our first TV show.
Good job.
Of the podcast. High five through Skype. Yeah. So I'm excited to be starting a new shows and looking at new movies. There are a couple web series we have on our list, so we'll figure out which one we want to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can talk about that more in depth, but, you know, we're basically, the format that we're doing is cover a TV show or a web series, and then every couple episodes or so we'll throw in a movie just to mix things up a little bit, in case you're not a big fan of, you know, said TV show.
Yeah.
Did you have any notes about Badlands or anything else, Melissa?
Not really. I guess I'm a little disappointed with...
In how this first season went?
Yeah, I'm really... It's funny, because, like, when I went into it, I didn't really have any expectations, and I didn't think it was going to be my thing, I guess.
Right.
But I guess now that I look at it, I see the potential, and I realize that it super-duper could have been my thing if they had played their cards better.
I agree. It had all, for me anyway, personally, it had all the right elements. Like, it had sci-fi, it had, you know, Asian American characters, it had Journey to the West, it had, like, kung fu and swords. I mean, like, for me, I was like, this could have been so
We could have had amazing. It all, is what you're saying.
Yes. And it wasn't, not that it was terrible, but it just...
It just was.
It just was, and it could have been so much more in different hands, different storylines, different ideas, you know?
Yeah.
I am glad that they did try to make this happen, and they did get a whole season out of it.
Yeah.
You know? I think this is a very interesting step, and I think people could... I mean, I hope that people start looking at this whole, like, kung fu wire work.
Yeah.
You know? Action stuff as like a interesting way to mix up the action genre.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, frankly, I find it a lot more interesting than watching people shoot each other.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, like, fight scenes are cool, but fight scenes with swords, even better.
Yeah, I mean, I love me some swords.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, that was the most interesting thing to me. The whole cinematography and the fight scenes. And I hope that, even if the show doesn't continue, I do hope that other shows kind of try to incorporate some kind of fighting. Mm-hmm. Like martial arts or kung fu or, you know, sword fighting in their shows. Because it was just such a cool element, and I'd love to see that again.
Yeah. It seemed like the general takeaway of the reviews that I looked at after I finished were that, you know, it was a mediocre plot, writing, but the action scenes... That's what you come and you stay for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I completely concur. But I really appreciated their ambition in taking on this entire new world, you know, not founded by a movie or, you know.
Or a book.
Yeah, or a book. Or real life. Or something. And it was it was so ambitious. And I really, even if it did sometimes fall on its face, appreciate that they went out for it and the ambition so much more than like another CSI, you know? Like, it was,
yeah,
this is the kind of stuff that I want people to go for and to see.
It's so much easier to just have a show based in real life, real, like, modern day.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain anything.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain what smartphones are and how they work. People just know this because it's that time period. So, yeah, mad prop to them for trying to bring in a whole new world, a whole new world and explain everything, because, you know, that's difficult.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we gave them a lot of crap for the writing, but, you know.
It's because we saw their potential, you know? Like, if we thought it was a crappy show, we wouldn't be like, well, this is a crappy show every episode. We'd be like, let's stop watching.
Yeah, we'd probably be like, we'd probably do one episode and be done.
Yeah, this is, you know, that's the annoying thing, is that it has potential and it hasn't been met yet. But you know what? You gotta stay optimistic, you know? Maybe.
One can hope that they get out of the Badlands and into the good lands.
I get it.
Hilarious.
I get it.
But yeah, that's it for this episode. Yeah. So next week we'll be reviewing a movie, and yeah, then we'll start a new show. I guess we'll figure that out and tell you at the end of the next episode.
Yeah, so when we figure it out.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to us.
Thank you.